throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit, Source, and Symphony, we listen to the unseen. We go as guided. We look at the current energies, and boy, are there a lot of them. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going to jump into part two of these eclipse energies. Last week was part one. This week, part two. Welcome, Olivia, as you're joining from around the globe. Put a shout out in the comments. And remember that we incorporate your comments and questions live throughout the show. So I want to jump in directly to our main theme and talk about the fact that last week was about thresholds. Welcome, Deborah. And this week is about doorways. And so here's our main theme. Stepping through the doorway. What was I made for? And so, welcome, Alicia. And there's a huge, it's a big deal, these energies of the eclipse and the Mercury retrograde. And today, on the 10th of April, we have the Mars and Saturn conjunct. So it sets a new two-year cycle. Welcome, Brigitte. So glad you, yes, exactly, for everyone being here. So wonderful to have you all. And so this beautiful stepping through the doorway. So we're crossing a threshold with this, with these eclipse energies and everything that are going to be rippling out for months to come and really for years to come. They're setting the tone. They are setting the example. And it's this piece of, and it's going to feel like that falling through the looking glass. And let me just bring that up really quickly, because it says, what does falling through the looking glass mean? And it's through the looking glass is a metaphorical expression. It means on the strange side, in the twilight zone, in a strange parallel world. It comes from the idea of Lewis Carroll's novel, Through the Looking Glass, and the strange and mysterious world Alice finds when she steps through a mirror. So this conjures up Alice in Wonderland, the Chronicles of Narnia. There's this energy and this essence. And what the unseen is saying in the moment is, whether micro or macro, so individual lives or the greater whole of the whole, it can feel like these eclipse energies, this the crossing the threshold, stepping through the doorway, is going to feel odd or foreign to us as we progress, because it's a whole new experience. It's a whole new world. And so even when we take that minor step through the looking glass, through the doorway, it can be something so simple of changing a thought pattern, changing locations, jobs, relationships, anything that changes. What's on the other side of that change can feel foreign, unknown to us, because it is. It's new. We haven't been there yet. And yet, in the same way as the Chronicles of Narnia, when they fall through the back of the cabinet, of the closet, or through the looking glass into another world, the greater arc of that metaphor holds true. And so this is what they're talking to us. And with this profound, and this is, I just saw this, so it came, it's from the song, it's Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For? And it's from the movie Barbie. It's Billie Eilish as the artist. And there's such a poignant question, because we all 8 billion humans, souls, ask, what was I made for? What's my purpose? What am I doing here? And so the unseen is saying to us, with these eclipse energies, we're crossing a threshold. We're stepping through the doorway. And on the other side of that, and let's look at the main image again. And this is the image from last week's mantra, which you'll see in a minute. But you see that there's this pathway, the full moon, and this beautiful, like, stepping through the doorway. And there's a matrix grid around it. And it's, what was I made for? And the unseen is saying to us, on the other side, again, of any individual change, movement, and of course this collective greater whole is the awareness of what I was made for. What was I made for? And here's our mantra from last week, just to show, because it's, I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. I'm willing to reveal it, which means it already exists. I'm willing to step through the doorway to receive what's on the other side, what may be unknown to me. Even though I may have this knowing, this feeling, the experience of it, the actualization of it is unknown. So I'm open, I'm able, and I'm willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. I'm willing to see what's on the other side of that threshold, of that doorway. And to keep in mind that once we do, our mantra for this week, I am. So once we cross the threshold, we walk through the doorway, we enter the other side, the entire point, and you see this beautiful image of the earth with the huge superimposed words, I am. And then in the lower right, you see what appears to be like the full sun. In the kind of upper left, you see the full moon, this indigo blue light, this radiant golden light, and this swoosh of indigo light swooshing across the earth, like passing through it all, passing through us. So on the other side of the doorway, I am. This is true now. It's true always. I am. The unseen is making a very powerful statement to us, a calling, a bell ringing that says on the other side of this, I am. The ideal becomes the new reality. It is. And this is from many shows ago, but here's this image about crossing the Rubicon. So the threshold. We step across the threshold. We step through the doorway. And it's like crossing the great Rubicon. And yes, Sid, I do clairvoyant intuitive readings. Yes. And remember the Rubicon, a bounding or limiting line, like a threshold, especially one that when crossed commits a person irrevocably. We're fulfilling our spiritual, revealing our spiritual fulfillment. It's already chosen, it's already present, it already exists. So once we step through, it's that irrevocable choice and experience because we've crossed the line of no return. And Rubicon is also a limit or point that is reached when the results of one's actions cannot be changed, meaning they cannot be undone. And we wouldn't want them to. There's a profound joy. The unseen is saying to us, this is a colossal moment and colossal events. And yes, it appears that life goes on. There was so much, I don't know if the right word is fodder, but there was a lot of information surrounding the eclipse. And so from the world's ending to, all these different things. And the moral of the story is that when the unseen acts, when the higher hand acts, it will reveal itself in divine time. What we're meant to do is, quote unquote, be ready, be in alignment with higher source, your soul source connection. And thereby that will continually guide you in a manner that is in alignment with the way. Not a way, not your way, not my way, not the highway, the way. And that's what we're looking at. Let me just bring in Brigitte really quickly. Honestly, it's been profound. My husband is turning 50. An offer came in to buy his 4-generation business, and he is freaking out as he's stepping away from everything he's ever known. Exactly. How perfect. Perfect example, Brigitte. Thank you for sharing this. See, everything that we've known about ourselves, you cross the threshold, you step through the doorway, it's crossing the Rubicon, it's irrevocable once you've done it, and yet how timely, how just divine timing, because what's on the other side is what already exists, meaning it's the next iteration of what your soul said it would do in this lifetime, in this incarnation. And if we stay locked in fear, in labels, identities, experiences, and so forth, we never make room. We never empty the vessel to make room for what's on the other side. And what's on the other side is incredible. It's divine. It's so we do walk through the fire, and you will see for Brigitte and everyone, this is true, this association with the phoenix rising. And let me just, I'm going to bring it up because it's, this is one of our quotes. Good fortune perches on apparent disaster. And in the image, you see the staircase, you see the doorway, there's that threshold in the doorway and it's illuminated. And yet everything around it is like fiery red and golden and all this stuff, invoking the image of the phoenix rising. And it is literally number two from the unseen, this sun conjunct Mercury, Mercury retrograde. This is happening tomorrow, Thursday. So sun conjunct Mercury, like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Watch what happens. Watch what happens next. And then he's like, watch out, in the most positive, beautiful way. And so we have this phoenix rising energy. It's associated with the sun conjunct Mercury retrograde tomorrow. Again, these will ripple out. But the point is that it's what's on the other side of the doorway. And what's on the other side of the doorway? A phoenix rising. It's a rebirth, a renewal. It's the next iteration of us. Brigitte is saying, and that's what he said, I can't undo this after I make the decision. Exactly. And the beauty of it is he wouldn't want to. And thank you, Brigitte, again, for sharing this as our example. We wouldn't want to undo crossing the Rubicon, crossing the threshold. We know what we know until we know. We've already experienced everything. And it's namaste. I bow to the divine in you. I've had this experience, good, bad, and different, wonderful, divine and neutral. We've had it. What's next? What's after this? And again, some things, a reason, a season, a lifetime. So you'll know, in this instance, an example, Brigitte and her husband in the family four-generation business, there'll be a knowing that says, I know it's time. I know it's the right thing to do. I know there's something more. I may be terrified and I won't be able to change, undo this once I do it. No, you won't. However, you will have emptied your vessel, you will have made space, and you will experience what's on the other side of that Rubicon moment choice. And so, as we can see, powerful energies. Going on, the first thing the unseen said was, "What about us?" And it's the song by Pink. And the moral is, be ready. In all ways, always be ready. Be ready meaning be in alignment, be in attunement with your soul choices, your soul source connection. And there's some brilliant, I'm just going to quickly quote from the song. We are searchlights we can see in the dark. We are rockets pointed up at the stars. We are billions of beautiful hearts. What about us? What about love? What about trust? And so the lyrics to the song, and it's an interesting thing because when you see the lyrics, and it's this representation too of spirit, source, symphony, God, Allah, Buddha, however, your higher source, and them saying, the unseen saying, what about us? We forget, we always, as humans, we look at this in a one-way mirror. And we forget that the unseen, we are in reciprocity with the unseen. And so while we always want them to do for us, guide us, present a miracle, make something happen, save us, heal someone, this one-way mirror, they too then say, hey, what about us? Do we stop to consider them? Do we stop to consider the opportunity and the responsibility to work with them, to be in alignment with them? Why is it that they should be the only ones doing all the heavy lifting? What about us? So there's this beauty in these moments, and we have powerful numbers. So let me jump into the main energies and the astrological influences. We have doubling downs on the four, on the youthful folly, try again. And we have a 10, new beginnings, treading, cautious advance. We have the 8 all year long, uniting, unite. This is all about breaking us down to bring us back together. To, you know, it's like sifting and peeling the onion and burning away all that we don't need for a renewal, a phoenix rising, a rebirth, a renewal, the 10. And when you add the numbers in true fashion of numerology, the 4, the 1, and the 8 become a 13. Fellowship, socialize. It's about reigniting our unity, our likeness, our oneness. When you add the 4, the 10, and the 8, it becomes a 22, the most powerful master number. And 22 represents grace. And it's like to accept the inevitable. And what the unseen means by that is the arc of destiny moves forward. So we know, with Brigitte's example and everything, when you know, it may be terrifying, but you have a knowing, you have a deep knowing about letting go of something, about advancing, about crossing the threshold, stepping through the doorway, this Rubicon moment. And with grace, with humility, with empowerment, you know, it's to accept the inevitable, meaning accept the opportunities that are presented. Because they may not come around again. And then again, this doubling down of number 4, youthful folly. So it's to remember, walk through the fire, be the phoenix rising, and do it with grace, humility, enthusiasm, joy, excitement, because we're in alignment. You are in alignment with your soul source connection, what your soul said it would do. And I'm just going to add in number 3 from the unseen. This was so fascinating. They said, before and after portraits, images. So there's a before us and an after us. Before the Rubicon moment, before the crossing the threshold, before stepping through the doorway, and the after. And they said, amazing, astonishing renewal, makeovers, do-overs, second chances. And then they said, ... in love. Because when we approach everything from a place of purity and love and goodness, then we never harm ourselves and we certainly don't harm others. And so there are these before and after portraits, images. So remember the scripts, the stories, these images, these impressions of who we were before, what we may have been telling ourselves or why we needed to hang on to something and why we couldn't do this, that, or the other. And, you know, the labels, the identities, the stories, the scripts, the masks, the before image. And then we have this phoenix rising, walking through the fire, across the threshold, Rubicon, stepping through the doorway. After. Who we are after that. What it feels like. What we look like. What are the stories and the scripts. Oh my gosh, there's a whole new world before us. How exciting. And again, to be childlike in our process of achieving that, of walking through it. It's not to be arrogant. It's to be childlike. So let's move into, an astrological influences. A definitive page turner. So these eclipse energies, this Mercury retrograde, the Sun and Mars conjunct, the Sun and Mercury retrograde being conjunct coming up. There's so many energies here going on all at one time. And let me just bring up, I'm going to share my screen really quickly. because I want to show you the bigger astrological wheel for this, and then I'll come back to these very quickly. But here's the astrological orary chart for the eclipse that occurred on Monday. This total, it was a new moon, and it's a total solar eclipse. And you can see that the moon on the right-hand side, the moon, the sun, and Chiron were all conjunct, meaning at the exact same degree and arc minute, within 2 seconds of an arc minute, 2 minutes of an arc minute, they were all at 19 degrees Aries. And so this powerful energy of healing, renewal, advance. And so the astrological influences of bringing that up, the unseen is calling it a definitive page turner, turning the page on the past. So it's letting go of the past, emptying the vessel, releasing all of our old attachments, and, you know, let them. And there's a beautiful thing. And I'll bounce back to this again. Things that we're letting go of, mask identities, labels, hard feelings, things of this nature, write them down on little slips of paper and then carefully burn them as an exercise. We're releasing them. So again, Phoenix rising energy, the power of fire. Do so carefully, make sure you don't catch anything on fire and everything. But so anything that may be burdensome, shadow elements, things that you are releasing, write them on a piece of slip of paper and burn them. Hopeful wishes, things that you want or that are drawing to yourself, write them on a little slip of paper and place them in moving water. Be organic and careful with the environment and everything. However, the beauty of this is in both instances, one with fire, one with water, you are releasing the energies. You are not retaining them. You're releasing them. And thereby, because remember, they've said the divine feminine, this force, this energy, you don't contain it. You don't hold on to it. You don't bottle it. You allow it to move through you. And so it's a powerful exercise, one with fire, one with water, and how you are releasing the shadow, you're bringing in more divine neutrality, you know, you're purifying the void and the light with your hopes, dreams, and wishes. In both instances, you're releasing them and letting the energies flow through you. Powerful. So again, with the astrological influences, on the 1st of April, we have Mercury station retrograde. On Monday the 8th, we have the total solar eclipse. Today, the 10th, we have the Mars-Saturn conjunction. On Thursday, we have the Sun and Mercury retrograde conjunction. And then upcoming is once in 84 years, the Jupiter conjunct Uranus in Taurus. I believe the next time this happens, the next time it will conjunct in Taurus will be 84 years. The next conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus is, I believe, in 13 years, and it's in Cancer. So again, these powerful energies coming together. So we're in this, the entire month of April, and remember, they've said that to us. We had a lot of discussion about how powerful the month of April would be energetically, as above, so below. So we're going to see a lot of shifts, turns, and movement. Let's address, I'm going to move to, this is from Chani Nicholas. I apologize, I've been saying her name wrong. It's Chani Nicholas, incredible astrologer. And this is her, The Weekly, it's issue number 11. And so this is an excerpt from it. This week, there is a rare solar eclipse in Aries, and along with it, a Chiron Kazemi, meaning Chiron, the wounded healer, will be at the same exact place as the sun, in the heart of the sun. Chiron is the minor planet that's known as the wounded healer. It symbolizes those learned in the administration of medicines, doctors, healers, chiropractors, and therapists, as well as caregivers, teachers, and mentors of all kinds. It represents people who do the hard work of helping others turn their shame into psychological gold. And remember, the gold lies within. So we're mining for the gold within. Their turmoil, so it's, it turns their shame into psychological gold, their turmoil into creative fuel, and their pain into art, action, advancement. The unglamorous, relentless, grueling, and deeply rewarding work that's done in the shadows, in the healing rooms, in the caves of the human psyche. Work that goes unseen by the world, but shifts everything. Utilizing, as we said a few shows back, utilizing the shadow to purify the light and the void, to bring us into harmony, yin-yang, balance. On their own, eclipses are cataclysmic events, at least visually speaking, at least momentarily. They signify something out of the ordinary occurring, something shadowy befalling us, something mysterious at work. They usually align with dramatic beginnings and endings, and they are initiations, especially in Aries, the first sign of the zodiac. The eclipse on April 8th can be seen across certain parts of America. Whenever the sun is visibly blotted out, turning day into dusk, feelings of awe and awareness of how puny we take hold, how puny we are, that takes hold. So it shows our tininess. But beyond the visual spectacle, this eclipse is special for another reason. Having another minor planet exactly aligned with such a visually stunning eclipse is unique. A solar eclipse in Aries with a Chiron Kazemi, all three, the sun, the moon, and Chiron at 19 degrees Aries, foretells a moment when our wounds need to be addressed, collectively and personally. Anything that happens in Aries has a bold, daring, courageous, bombastic, creative, loud, and evocative signature to it. I love that. It's like Aries is the first out of the gate. Aries is primordial fire, the spark of life that cannot be contained or crushed. It is relentlessly aglow. And so this is a phoenix rising, walk through the fire, cross the Rubicon, cross the threshold, step through the doorway, moment, time, energy. Thus, we may notice a world alight with woes, but also wisdom during this period. Because that's what we're meant to transcend, the lessons, not become them. That's being stuck in the old, that before and after image. We're meant to transcend them. So this is we want to be in the after image. The call to move into positions of mentorship ourselves is loud right now. This eclipse is asking us, what healing do we need and what healing can we offer? What have our mentors taught us and how are we implementing those lessons? What was I made for? What did my soul say it would do? It's a call to action. It's a call to transcendence, transformation. It is a call to renewal. It is a call to empty the vessel. Chani goes on to say, may we use this time to honor those who showed us how to be generous, kind, and willing to do the work. And in true Aries fashion, may we take those lessons and move into direct action so that we use our life, energy, creativity, gifts, and agency to tend to the pain points that abound. So this is a huge opportunity to connect to your divinity, to divine source, your soul source connection. Enough already. Enough already with the ego mind personality leading the way and driving. Enough with the, and it's not, it's enough meaning not to eradicate or kill or demean or oppress and suppress the divine masculine Piscean era patriarchal rule. It's just enough. It's like, okay, now let's make room for matriarchal, Aquarian, harmony, justice, balance, love, soul source connection leading the way. That is what these eclipse energies are offering us. And not only offering us, guiding us, directing us, and it's the cosmic 2x4 is what I'm getting in from the unseen in my mind's eye. It's literally like, we either go, we will. So we either go willingly, happily, joyfully. Yes, we're proactively engaged, or the unseen pulls out the cosmic 2x4, but go, we will. It's as much as it is an invitation, a calling, it's a fait accompli. So that's why I'm giggling, because the unseen is making it very clear that as much as we're inviting you, you're going. So that's why. Let me now, we're going to move, and I'm going to follow this up with a Pam Youngin's North Point Journal for this week, for April 8th to the 14th, on the eclipse. Another wonderful astrologer. I'm going to share my screen here. And this is Birds During a Total Solar Eclipse. The image credit and copyright is Leonardo Caldas. What a beautiful image. And remember that the birds represent spirit, higher mind, the unseen. So here again, this image reaffirmed by Leonardo Caldas reaffirms a higher hand at play, a higher calling. This is a fait accompli. They are in association with this. And of course, as above, so below, of course they're directing it. It's just the fact that the beauty of the birds being present in this image reaffirms a lift, a higher octave. So here we are. Pam Youngin says, The total solar eclipse on April 8th is a powerful one, with potentially major effects on our individual lives and also on our collective evolution. Visually, eclipses such as this are always thrilling, since the moon completely blocks the sun's light from reaching the earth, causing day to turn to night. This eclipse is a particular note because its path of totality, where it will appear as a total eclipse, crosses highly populated areas of the United States, allowing it to be seen by many more people than usual. Those who are outside the path of totality will view it as only a partial eclipse. However, everyone on the planet will experience the energies of the event, whether or not they are in the path of totality and whether or not they can physically see the eclipse. So again, this is higher hand at play. Doesn't mean if we were there with our eclipse glasses on and everything in the path of totality, as above, so below, it's affecting and everyone will experience it. This event is also rare in that it is occurring quite soon after the last North American total solar eclipse. That one occurred only 7 years ago in August 2017, and its path of totality crossed the entire width of the United States. Prior to that event, we have to go back almost 40 years to 1979 to find another total solar eclipse that was visible in the U.S. The next total solar eclipse that will be seen in the United States will occur about 20 years from now in August of 2044. So it's rare to have them, and remember, it creates these, the August 2017 and the one that just occurred on April 8th. These two eclipses made a crisscross. X marks the spot just south of St. Louis, Missouri. It was kind of over the state of Texas, but it's really close, just south of St. Louis. And they gave us that in last week's show. The unseen gave us this ding, ding, ding goes the trolley and the gateway arch and everything, the gateway, the galaxy, the opening. Pam Youngins goes on to say, the cosmic intention. At the time of this week's eclipse, the sun and moon are in close proximity, within 4 degrees to the Aries North Node, where we're going, where humanity is going. The point in space that represents humanity's current path of evolutionary progress. Thus, Monday's eclipse is acting like a magnet, drawing each of us and all of us into alignment with our path of highest personal and spiritual growth. I'm open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. This is conjunct the North Node, and it's asking us, it's forcing us into alignment with our path of highest personal and spiritual growth. As a catalyst in this process, external events may occur around the time of the eclipse that impact us individually and or collectively. Chiron, the wounded healer, plays a pivotal role in the intentions of the eclipse, being positioned at the exact same degree and minute, arc minute, as the sun and moon. Chiron's involvement indicates that it is time to attend to the source of fears, of the fears and insecurities that often masquerade, masks, labels, identities, as anger and violence. It's about where we see ourselves as the victim. Until the thorn is removed from its paw, a lion in pain will attack whomever comes near. So hurt people. That's the point here. And so this eclipse conjunct Chiron exactly and 4 degrees apart conjunct the North Node, where humanity's direction. It's saying we're going to heal the hurt. We're going to address it. On an individual level, it is very important to attend to self-care needs as this eclipse intensifies on both physical and emotional levels. It is time for each of us to acknowledge, accept, and open our hearts to the part of us that feels fearful or angry. Suppressing or judging this part of us merely drives the thorn deeper in. There's no hiding. It's that statement about the second coming where people run to hide from God. And it's laughable because, in essence, God, higher power, source is everywhere. Within us, around us, it's the whole of the whole, totality. How do you hide from yourself? As we prioritize this self-care and also approach our relationships with similar understanding, we can take advantage of the healing potentials of Chiron. The result is a stronger sense of personal sovereignty and a knowing that we are of value because of who we are at our core, not based on any externals. It's the beautiful rise of the guardians. And Santa says to Jack, who are you at your center? That's what matters. It's not the people, places, things, the trophies, the labels, the identities, the masks, the externals that define us or make us who we are. It's who we are at our core. She goes on to say, Mercury and Eris. Mercury and Eris also play significant roles in the eclipse energies, being exactly conjunct each other on Monday, and also within orb of being conjunct the Sun, Moon, and Chiron. Mercury is at 24 degrees and Eris is at 24 degrees, Aries, at the time of the eclipse. When the messenger god, Mercury, and the goddess of discontent, Eris, align, we can expect that people will be especially assertive in expressing their needs and may be somewhat self-absorbed. Our thoughts and our words are strongly influenced by our emotional state with this eclipse, which could make it hard to reach consensus. Opinions are voiced, and remember, we don't need opinions. Truth speaks for itself. So when we simply stay in silence or reside in stillness, the truth speaks for itself. So here, Pam Youngins is saying, opinions are voiced loudly and with zeal, and the skill of listening could be lacking. While some may feel great courage in their convictions, they may not have the wisdom to act in ways that will ultimately lead to success. So it's shoving the thorn into the paw deeper. We may receive important insights and information this week, but with Mercury currently retrograde, we will want to reserve judgment and action for a later date, perhaps after the planet goes direct on April 25th. Be aware of knee-jerk reactions, since impulsive responses are likely to cause problems down the road. And to Brigitte specifically with this, should this transaction have occurred, the selling of the four-generation business, occurred outside of the retrograde window, things are okay. Be mindful to not close them during the retrograde period. It is forward action. However, it can have unexpected consequences later, meaning things that weren't necessarily known. And so should your husband decide to sell the four-generation business, do so, complete the transaction and everything outside of the Mercury retrograde window. And that's true for everyone. It's something to, if you have to, look over things, you know, multiple times, contracts and so forth and deal points and all of that. But it is something to be aware of during this time. If we are able to harness the positive potentials of this Aries new moon and total solar eclipse, the healing, the courage, and the sovereignty, This lunation provides great inspiration and energy, which will benefit us for many months to come. The area of our personal lives where this will likely manifest is shown by the house placement of 19 degrees Aries in our natal astrology charts. So you can look at your natal birth chart in astrology. You can see where Aries is in your chart. What house does it govern and rule? Where is it showing up? And that will give you a greater understanding of where this may present itself. Lastly, she says, the next 6 months, the impact of an eclipse is usually strongest for a week or two on either side of the event, but its effects linger for the next 6 months at least, until the next pair of eclipses occurs. As we look at the potential longer-term indications of this new moon eclipse, we want especially to consider the influence of Chiron and Eris. With the wounded healer energy activated, we could see new developments in the fields of mental and emotional health over the next 6 months. Even within ourselves, remember, it's not external. So we may see developments in mental and emotional wellness, health, what we need to address, how we need to come into alignment, what we need to release, purify, especially related to post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Because again, if we're doing the same things, if we're being triggered, it means we're not addressing the wound in the paw, the thorn in the paw. And knowing that Eris's influence was a major factor of the hashtag MeToo movement, those who have been ignored or disenfranchised, the divine feminine aspect of ourselves, and yes, women are on the forefront of that. However, men equally have divine feminine, yin yang, 50-50, comprising the whole. So those who have been ignored or disenfranchised may gain a stronger voice in the weeks ahead. So again, the more and more and more we come into alignment, the more and more and more the divine masculine and divine feminine are healed, are brought into harmony and balance. Libra, justice, equality. The better off we are. I mean, it will be, and remember, matriarchal rule is about the harmony and the balance of the two. It's not the divine feminine over the masculine, which is patriarchal. It's the harmony and the balance. Leave it to the divine feminine to think of everyone, to care for everyone, to want for everyone. Thus, the soul leads. Soul source connection, the intuition, the divine feminine aspect, the divine mother in all of us leads. And the more that we're in alignment with that, the easier it is. We're going to move into, and I'm going to bring in our second quote at this point. You are never lost, as you are always somewhere. The attribution is unknown. The image here is of these multiple doorways, these multiple thresholds. And so it's to remember in your individual lives and in our collective lives, the whole of the whole, you are never lost, as you are always somewhere. So just remember to ask, as you're walking through, as you're crossing multiple thresholds, as you're stepping through multiple doorways, as you're discerning, what was I made for? As you are revealing your spiritual fulfillment and you're falling through the looking glass, fear may arise. It's okay. You are never lost, as you are always somewhere. Simply stop and ask in any given moment, where am I? And then listen. Your soul will tell you. The unseen will guide you, will tell you exactly where you are. And then you'll be able to keep asking. You'll be able to keep peeling, walking through the fire, peeling the, unlayering, the peeling the onion to get to the pearl, to get to the wisdom, to get to the truth. And that will allow you to progress safely, carefully, confidently. Moving through, we're going to move to the Sabian symbols. I'm just going to bring this up, and these were so powerful. These eclipse energies are going to be playing out with us all month long. I said part one, part two, it's almost like the entire month, there's four parts. So we'll be addressing a lot of this as we go through the month of April. And just going to bring this up. Sorry, bear with me. Because number four from the unseen, and this is how these Sabian symbols are playing in, the unseen said, getting it right for the first time. So we're getting it right for the first time. And it's the song from Foreigner, feels like the first time. So it's going to feel like we're getting it right for the very first time. Like it all finally clicks together. It all finally makes sense. We're all finally whole, complete. And again, the backdrop of what's happening in world events, the chaos of the dismantling of the previous 2,000 plus years, the Piscean era, is one aspect. However, its opposite aspect is the advance into the Aquarian, the matriarchal, where North Node, where we're going. And so this says, it's the Foreigner song, feels like the first time, getting it right for the first time. That's where these energies are leading us, guiding us. So we move into the first symbol is for the Mercury retrograde, and it is that occurred on Monday. On the 1st of April. And its symbol is a large audience confronts the performer who disappointed its expectations. So this, and the keynote is the necessity for mature preparation and self-criticism, self-reflection. So here it is, a large audience, the masses, confront the performer who disappointed its expectations. However, looking outwardly, it's not them, it's not those people or those individuals or those leaders or that government, because they are we, they are I. So our large audience confronting the performer with their disappointment means we're seeing ourselves. We're seen in Mercury retrograde to revisit, relook, become aware of. And it says, what this symbol implies is the need to be more than obsessed by potentiality and subjectively involved in the use of powers. The objective results must be considered, meaning what this use will do. When I utilize powers, when I do something, what will it do? What will happen? And to be conscious of that. The individual is not alone concerned, for in a sense, humankind will be affected. What is required, therefore, is an objective inclusiveness of the whole environment. We got to be aware of our actions, conscientious of them, because it's not just us or them, this external entity, that will be affected. What we do affects us first and foremost, then it ripples out. What is required, therefore, is an objective inclusiveness of the whole environment, a sense of responsibility. The key word is responsibility, a sense of responsibility for what one's actions will produce in people who have been made to expect significant results. This is all about self-accountability, self-responsibility. And here, with this Mercury retrograde coinciding with the eclipse energies, coinciding with Chiron, with the North Node, it's shining a massive light on getting it right the first time. For the first time. Self-accountability, self-responsibility. Healing our wounds. Next up, these next three symbols are all about, this is where Pluto is, it's where the Sun, Moon, and Chiron are, and it's the Pluto, the South Node, what we're releasing, and Mars, and they all speak to, so Pluto is an unexpected thunderstorm. the need to develop the inner security which will enable us to meet unexpected crises. And so this is all about where Pluto is standing right now. Remember, French and American revolutions, industrial revolutions. An unexpected thunderstorm could be given a very positive meaning in an arid environment. But the emphasis on unexpected tends to accent the sudden and dangerous character of the event. Such a thunderstorm in a region of dry hills can cause a devastating flood. At any rate, it refers to an event for which one is not prepared. A menace to humankind's works. Remember, the unseen said they are shaking the primordial tree. They are shaking us to our core, to our roots. This symbol stresses the fact that nature may reduce to impermanence the seemingly most permanent endeavors and constructive activities of humankind. Under a downpour of rain, adobe brick can return to mud. All human institutions and their achievements can be washed away, even in their day of great glory. Dust you were, dust you must become. Must become. This is nature's challenge. So Pluto is ruling the roost here. It's about what we're letting go. So if we are not being proactive, expect the unexpected, eclipses, expect Pluto. This symbol is saying we're going to shake everything to its roots, to its core. Not to harm, but to purify, to release, to renew, to advance, to move us forward. Be proactive. Go with it. Go as guided. South Node. After a storm, you're going to see unexpected storm, thunderstorm. After a storm, a boat landing stands in need of reconstruction. The need to keep in operation steady links between the vast unconscious and the ego consciousness. Soul source connection, ego mind personality consciousness. And this symbol brings to us the vivid realization that whatever humankind builds to be able to venture away from solidly individualized and conscious bases of operation is likely to be damaged by yet unfamiliar cosmic forces. The tenuous link between two realms constantly needs repair. This is dead reckoning. This is with global position satellite, GPS. There's Mercury retrograde for you. My brain's going too fast for my mouth. The point here is, of old, you had to navigate by a fixed point as you moved forward, and they had to constantly try to recalibrate so as to not go off astray. With global positioning satellites, GPS, God positioning satellites, soul source connection, there's a need to constantly stay, these two realms, to constantly stay in contact with one another, to constantly repair the connection. So again, the forces, higher forces, wipe things out, because these things that are getting cleansed, wiped out, removed, are obstructing their goo. They're gumming up the lines, the communication. Mars, a lady wrapped in a large stole of fox fur. The use of intelligence and mental subtlety as a protection against storms and trials. In this sense, the key to its interpretation, missed by the commentators, is fox fur. In symbolism and mythology, the fox is always a clever and subtle animal. It represents the intellect at its early stage of cunning. In a broad sense, it also refers to intelligence, considered as the ability to adapt to any and all life situations. Spiritual will and the ability to stand in facing tests are necessary in any crucial or challenging situation that an individual meets within a power-oriented group. So this is about utilizing, shielding ourselves with this ability, this cloak of adaptability, this cloak of connectedness. Remove the goo, remove the thorn, address the shadow, utilize the shadow. What we see symbolized here is a self-protective way of meeting the inclemency of weather, actual or psychic, which abound as one leads a life consecrated to a vaster whole. See, it's our lives are consecrated to the whole. Love thy neighbor as thyself, thy God above all other. It's innately, inherently consecrated to the whole. For this very consecration arouses strong enmities. Unnecessary risks are forbidden to the initiate, for the security of the brother and sisterhood might be endangered. The need for a protective shielding is imperative. And glamour, fox fur, can be an effective shield. This is interesting because it goes right to number 5. The unseen said, guarding hyphen guard against jealousy. Not everyone will be, quote, happy for you, exclamation points. So again, you're an individual who is being consciously proactive, consciously aware. The unseen is saying, as we change, as we go through these changes, as you go through them, guard against jealousy, as not everyone will be happy for you. Because it means that they are stuck. They're not doing the works. They're remaining the victim. And they'll then be jealous. They'll attack. And so this beautiful protective shielding says, I stand in the light. I stand in my light. And I don't need to argue or diminish my light to be. I don't need to lower my light. I am. And that's enough. It's a simple statement of I am. I am open, willing, and able to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. Someone else may not be ready. That's okay. However, I will shield myself from your jealousy. Moving forward. So here's Saturn and Mars conjunct. They're creating, as today, the 10th of April, they create a new two-year phase, a new two-year cycle. Their symbol is an officer instructing his men before a simulated assault under a barrage of live shells. War, a simulation of war. An officer instructing his men before a simulated assault. The need for thorough rehearsing before any complex and inherently dangerous social ritual in which power is used or evoked. With great power comes great responsibility. An eclipse is incredibly powerful. A total solar eclipse is uber powerful. Conjunct Chiron, conjunct the North Node, in concert with a Mercury retrograde, in concert with Mars and Saturn, in concert with Pluto for the first time in 246 years, being in Aquarius. You get the point. There is a lot of power. And so this symbol dealt in various ways with the process of integration of the individual into a social whole, a community, an occult brother-sisterhood, wisdom. A concluding key word could be valorization, the concept of group value. The concept of group value dominates the entire scene. This scene, this symbol, speaks to the fact that it is about the group value, unity, uniting, coming together, that dominates. It is we the people, we united together in oneness, in unity, in harmony. Soul, source, soul leading, not ego, mind, personality, not patriarchal. Not Piscean. Matriarchal. Aquarian. Group value. This is but, and we will move this into a part 3 because again, there's still so much to get to. We've yet to even get to the Sabian symbols of the new moon, sun, and Chiron. So I want to wrap up. So last week was part 1, this week part 2. Next week, part 3, and the week after that, part 4. Number 6 from the unseen. they said, and we will complete the rest of these Sabian symbols in part 3 and part 4. The unseen said, it's number 6, spirit and service, and they said, celebrate, celebrating you. So in essence, the unseen is celebrating us. And then they were saying, celebrate you. They're reminding us to celebrate. And they said, it's time. It's well past time for us to celebrate ourselves, not from an ego, you know, ego mind personality point of view, but from a unity point, from a celebratory experience, moment. We're crossing the Rubicon. We're moving through. And so each time you do that individually, each time you face the fire, you have a phoenix rising moment. You cross the threshold. You step through the doorway. You discover, what was I made for? Celebrate that moment. Celebrate yourself. And do it with joy and innocence and enthusiasm and humility. Not hubris, not arrogance, not entitlement, not shadow. Purity of the void, purity of the light. Number 7, they said, walking alone, I find myself surrounded by love. And then it was immediately the footprints in the sand. And there's a beautiful song by the artist Leona Lewis, and which I will post, and it's soul riveting. At least for me it is. But what the unseen is saying is, walking alone, I find myself surrounded by love. So they're offering this both from ourselves, humans, earthly, human, heaven on earth experience. Walking alone, I find myself surrounded by love. And in reciprocity with the unseen saying to us, walking alone, I find myself surrounded by love. There's an awareness here that we are never alone. I am always there. They are always with us. And the footprints in the sand, both the song but the poem, speaks to the fact that when in hardship or when we feel isolated and alone, and there's only one set of footprints in the sand, it's that of the unseen, of higher power, of spirit, source, God, Allah, Buddha, that was carrying us, that was accompanying us, that was with us. So they're saying, I'm always there. We're always there. And in reciprocity, they recognize that when they walk alone or feel that they walk alone, the unseen, they find themselves surrounded by love, meaning they are acknowledged. They are received. And last but not least, it's these powerful numbers. And it's number 8. And so we have the 22. We have the number 13. So the most powerful prime master number, 22. We have number 13, the divine feminine, the divine feminine. And we have number 4. It's foundational. It is at the epicenter, at the foundation of everything. And the unseen said, we rise! Exclamation point. So this is a totality moment in the path of totality. This is a Rubicon moment. This is a threshold moment. And it is a doorway moment. And I want to get one last thing. I apologize because it's so on poignant and on point. And we will close with this for part 2. This is by Kim Wilborn. She's at guardiangateway.com. And she said, I am so drawn to images of gateways for obvious reasons, but I'm also drawn to pictures of bridges and doorways. They hold the common theme of being thresholds, places where we move from one place or one state of consciousness to the next. And that word next is important because it represents the fact that the big doorways in our lives help us move to the next phase of our own personal evolution. Connect to the living energies of the divine doorways in your life. As we choose to step through a new doorway in our lives, we step forward into a more powerful experience of ourselves, bringing us into alignment with our own full potential. Is there a doorway in your life that you feel inspired to move through? Something new and exciting, or maybe even scary? Feel yourself enveloped with the energy of your guardian angels, the being and the energy field that holds the pattern for your best and fullest potential in this lifetime, your soul source connection. Open your heart to connect with the presence of this next doorway in your evolution. And this is in our collective evolution. So micro, macro, it's a ripple effect. Become aware of new possibilities this week, and I would say ongoing, but Kim is talking about, be aware of new possibilities this week as you partner with the life-expanding energy of doorways. And that is exactly the point. These are life-expanding doorways, energies, thresholds, opportunities. And with them, we rise, we advance. And you can see, and I hopefully you can hear, the smile in my voice, in the tonality of it. I wish this for everyone. What a glorious opportunity to rise. So until next week, be well, be gentle with yourselves, and be kind. And we will pick up part 3. We will continue these eclipse energies and really these profound astrological as above, so below energies into 2 more parts. So a 4-part April month. All right. Be well, be wonderful. I love you all. Thank you so much for being here and participating. And until next week, we'll see you then.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.